This is Audible.
Gentleman 9. Written by Penelope Ward. Narrated by Andy Arndt and Sebastian York. Chapter 1. Amber. The ring of my phone startled me as I was mindlessly scrolling through photos online. The name on the caller ID made my pulse race. Channing Lord. Channing? My heart began to beat faster. Why would he be calling me? Before I had time to ponder that question, I picked up, trying my best to sound chipper, despite the fact that just moments earlier I was in tears while stalking my ex, Rory's, Facebook page. I ran my hand through my hair as if it mattered what I looked like. Channing! A deep, sexy chuckle vibrated against my ear, but somehow I felt it between my thighs.
How did you know it was me?
My nipples stiffened at the sound of his voice. I didn't want to react this way, but for as long as I'd known him, I reluctantly and secretly crushed on Channing. For one reason or another, he was always off-limits. When I first met him, he'd been my best friend's big brother. Off-limits. Then, our relationship evolved into a friendship I valued. Off-limits. Crossing the line with Channing wasn't a possibility, especially after I fell in love with his best friend, Rory, which made Channing, once again, off-limits. But the fact that I'd always considered Channing off-limits didn't mean I could ignore how attractive he was. The man was beautiful, and there was no denying that. "Your name showed up on the display. That's how I knew it was you," I said.
"Really?" he laughed. "Shit, this is my cell. I didn't know my name came up when I called people. I don't know if I like that."
"Well, it's because I have you programmed in. You must have called me from this number before, the last time we spoke. I think that was like 6 months ago."
"Oh, gotcha. Jeez. It's been a while, huh?"
"Yeah, it has. This is a surprise. What's up? How are you doing?"
"Still hot as hell."
I couldn't help where my mind went with him. Even though we'd talked on the phone occasionally, it had been a couple of years since we'd actually seen each other in person. From what I could tell on social media, he'd gotten even better looking with age. Channing was probably the most attractive human I'd ever personally known. Not only that, he had a larger-than-life personality and effortless charm. Women were always drawn to him, and that was precisely the problem for any chick who ended up dating him. Channing Lord loved women, and they loved him. That was the bottom line.
"I'm really well, actually," he said.
"Good to hear. I'm sorry that I haven't been in touch. It's been a rough couple of months." A few seconds went by before he responded.
"I heard about you and Rory. That was pretty shocking news. Are you okay?"
"No." The subject of Rory always turned me into a defensive, moody bitch. "Why do you ask? Did someone tell you I wasn't okay?"
"No. I haven't spoken to Rory or anything. Jordan told me."
Jordan was one of my friends from back home who'd had a fling with Channing way back when. "How nice of her to fill you in."
"You guys had been together forever. It doesn't take a genius to figure out that this must be rough for you."
"Well, I'm taking it one day at a time." I didn't want Channing to know how badly the breakup had devastated me.
"That's all we can ever do, right? One day at a time. One foot in front of the other. That's a good attitude."
"So, to what do I owe this phone call, Lord?"
"Well, I sort of have a question for you. Not sure if I'm overstepping my bounds in asking, but..."
What was he getting at? My heartbeat sped up a bit. "Okay."
"I just got a temporary contract position with a biomedical company in Boston. CeraMed. You ever hear of them?"
"Oh, yeah. In Cambridge."
"Exactly. The one in Cambridge. It's only for a few months. Starts in early October. Jordan said you might have an extra room that you rent out to people. I figured it wouldn't hurt to ask if it's available. I'd need it starting on October 1st.
He wanted to stay here? With me? I didn't know how I felt about that, but I didn't want to lie to him. "Yeah, actually, I do have a room. I rent it out typically through Airbnb, but I'm only booked through the end of August. After that, it's available." "What the hell?" "It's yours if you want it." I closed my eyes and cringed. I really should have thought it through a bit more before offering Channing a room. The last thing I needed at this point in my life was to have to listen to him doing God knows what with God knows whom across the hall. He sounded surprised.
Are you serious?
Of course.
You've rescued my ass. I owe you big time. I'll pay whatever you normally get. Even more. I don't care. You just saved me the hassle of trying to find a place in the city. I was dreading it.
Well, I'm glad. It will be nice to catch up, too. I meant that. Channing had a way about him that always made me happy when I was around him. Even though he and I were closer friends when we were younger than we were now, he was always fun to be around. We grew apart back when Rory and I started dating, but Channing was always someone I knew I could count on, even if we weren't speaking regularly. He was truly like a big brother.
Are you sure you're okay with this, Amber?
Completely.
I promise I'll stay out of your hair, and by the end of December I'll be gone.
We can touch base closer to October, but I'll hold it for you. Won't book anyone for that time period.
Fantastic.
He paused.
Do you think Rory will be pissed?
His question made me defensive. I'm not even going to tell Rory. I don't owe him any explanations. I haven't been in touch with him in several weeks. My ex lived about a half hour away and had custody of our golden retriever. With a fenced-in yard, his house was a better fit for an animal. So I only really contacted him to check in on Bruiser from time to time. He was quiet, then said,
I'm sure you don't want to go into it right now, but I'm here if you ever need to talk about what happened between you and him.
Thank you, but nope. No need to talk about Rory. Onward and upward, I said defensively. No, I didn't need to talk about how my boyfriend of 9 years, the guy I'd given my virginity to, up and decided that we needed a break because he hadn't sown his oats. He suggested we take some time to explore other people. He'd completely blindsided me.
If we're meant to be, we'll find our way back to one another. But I don't think either one of us is ready for marriage when we've never experienced being with anyone other than each other. Marriage is a vow you don't break, Amber.
Channing snapped me out of my recollection of Rory's words. It sounded like a train was approaching in the distance.
All right. Well, thanks again, Walnut.
Walnut. Now that was a nickname I hadn't heard in years. He used to call me that because of my last name, Walton. Channing used to tease me, saying that I was a bit of a nut, a walnut. The train got louder. He continued,
I'll definitely have to eat you out when I get there.
What did he just say? I'm sorry, I can't hear you, he shouted.
I said I'll have to take you out when I get there, as a thank you for letting me stay. Anyway, I'm just about to hop on the train. I'll talk to you soon.
Oh, mother of God.
Okay, sounds good. Take care, Amber.
You too. The summer flew by faster than I was ready for. I couldn't believe that in less than a month, Channing would be arriving in Boston. I decided that it was time to replace the ratty sheets on the bed in the spare room. My friend Annabelle accompanied me to Bed Bath & Beyond one afternoon. Annabelle was a clinical supervisor at the Human Services Agency where we both worked. During the day, I assisted in a special education classroom and worked with a special needs adult a few nights a week to supplement my income. The store was filled with university students and their parents who were infiltrating the city for move-in weekend. A feeling of nostalgia hit me upon the sight of all the college kids standing in the checkout line with their shower caddies and reading pillows. Ah, to be that age again. Annabelle lifted a set of shrimp-colored sheets that were encased in plastic.
What about these?
I shook my head. Not masculine enough. She returned them to the shelf and picked up another.
What about these beige ones? Egyptian cotton?
Taking a closer look, I said, the thread count is too low.
You seem very invested in this choice, she laughed. Are you sure you're not planning on spending some time rolling around beneath these sheets yourself?
Hells no. My cheeks felt hot as I explained. Channing is the last guy I'd be frolicking around with under any sheets, believe me. She raised her brow.
Why is that? He's single, isn't he? And I really think you could benefit from a rebound.
I can think of a million reasons why nothing will be happening with Channing.
Like what?
Let's see. One, Channing has slept with half of my friends back home. Two, he was Rory's best friend for a while. Three, I look at him like a brother. Those are just a few of many reasons.
I can't think of a better way to get back at Rory than to take up with his friend.
As much as I'd love to stick it to my ex, it won't be via Channing Lord. There's way too much history there.
Do you have a picture of this Channing?
I proceeded to pull up his Facebook page on my phone, laughing to myself in anticipation of what she was going to say. Scrolling through some of his photos, I stopped at the one I knew would get the biggest reaction. Channing was wearing a gray beanie and a black collared shirt. A little of his lustrous brown hair was peeking out from under the hat. He was looking off to the side, showcasing his perfect profile. Just the right amount of chin scruff peppered his angular jaw. The photo was apparently taken during a brief modeling stint for some designer out in Chicago. Even though he wasn't a model, he was literally recruited off the street and into a photographer's loft for an impromptu shoot, according to the caption. That didn't surprise me. Only Channing. I was apparently transfixed on this shot, because Annabelle had to swipe the phone from me in order to look at the photo. Her mouth was agape.
Holy crap! You look at this guy like your brother? How is that even possible? Jesus, Hector Christ, he's super hot.
Hector?
Well, they say Jesus H. Christ. I figured the H stands for something. Anyway, yeah, this guy is really good looking.
Oh, I know. Believe me.
If I wasn't married, I'd probably be hanging out at your place all of the damn time. Still might be.
Tell me again why you look at him like a brother?
We have a long history.
I closed my eyes and took a deep breath. Channing is my best friend Lainey's older brother. I first met him through her. I hesitated. It was always hard to say it out loud. It didn't matter how many years had passed. She died in an accident when she and I were 14. Channing was about 16 at the time.
Annabelle looked like she regretted asking.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. That's devastating. I didn't know.
It was a very hard time for all of us. He was never able to talk about her death. But even so, her passing sort of bonded us pretty fast. He and I really only became friends after that. That was how I met Rory, who was Channing's good friend at the time.
You probably remind Channing of his sister, or at least what life was like before she passed away. He must have taken comfort in having you around.
That might have been part of our connection, yes. He, Rory, and I hung out a lot after Lainey's accident. Being in Lainey's house with all of her things comforted me. They don't have a big family. It was just their mom and them. Now it's just Mrs. Lord and Channing. Their dad was never in the picture.
So Channing was the man of the house?
Yes, and he took Lainey's death very hard. So did I. She was like a sister to me. But no one took it harder than Channing.
So you said you met Rory through Channing?
Yes, we were like the Three Musketeers for a while.
You and two guys?
That sounds kind of interesting. I knew you were thinking along those lines, but no, it was platonic, even with Rory up until a certain point. When Channing went out of state to college for a year, that's when things changed. Rory and I got closer and eventually became a couple. I'd never really viewed Rory in that way, romantically. He'd always seemed kind of nerdy to me, actually. I'd always been much more physically attracted to Channing, but Rory grew on me. With Channing gone, we got closer. I eventually fell in love with Rory. I trusted him. And basically, that ended up biting me in the ass years later, as you know.
How did Channing feel about you and Rory getting together?
I don't think it bothered him. Although he did seem to distance himself from us after he came back from college to find that we were together. Channing had only been gone a year, then transferred back home to go to state school. We all ended up at the same college at one point. I was a freshman when Rory and Channing were sophomores. Naturally, Channing quickly became a hot commodity on campus. He was with a different girl every week.
So he's a playboy then?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I can't say I blame him with looks like that, but eventually that's got to get tiring. How old is he?
Well, I'm 25. I closed my eyes for a moment to calculate. So that makes him 27, but I don't see Channing ever settling down, at least no time soon.
After I decided on a set of dark gray, 1,000-thread-count Ralph Lauren sheets, we passed the wedding gift registry area on our way to check out. My heart sank. It was in this very store, at that very kiosk, that my relationship with Rory started to crumble. We'd been shopping for a new coffee maker when I brought up the subject of starting to think about getting engaged. He'd gotten into a car accident a couple of months before, but was on his way to making a full recovery. In the weeks that followed the accident, though, I began to notice changes in him, which all culminated in the talk at Bed Bath & Beyond. The accident apparently caused him to ponder his life and determine that he didn't see a future with me. Annabelle disrupted my daydream. "Are you okay, Amber?" Shaking my head to fend off thoughts of Rory, I lied.
"Yeah."
Chapter 2. Amber. I'd sent Channing the key to my place so that he could get situated while I was at work. His flight got into Logan Airport at 10 a.m., which meant I wouldn't be home to greet him. I'd made sure the new bedding was washed and placed on his bed and cracked open a window to air out the room. I also left him a welcome note with two mints, the same gesture I afforded my Airbnb tenants. Since the school where I worked was only a short walk from home, I decided to head over to my condo during the lunch break to at least say hello. It was a cool, crisp day in Boston, the quintessential autumn afternoon with falling leaves and blue skies. The historic neighborhood where I lived, Beacon Hill, was known for its brick sidewalks and federal-style row houses. It was definitely one of the more sought-after neighborhoods in the city. As I approached my door, the smell of something cooking immediately infiltrated my senses. Music was blasting. He hadn't wasted any time making himself right at home, apparently. Channing didn't even notice me enter. I swallowed. The sight of him taking over my kitchen really caught me off guard. It wasn't because he was frying something on the stove, but rather because he was doing it in nothing but his underwear. His muscular legs were on full display, forming a path up to his gray boxer briefs, which left little to the imagination. Hugging his package and round ass. And he was shaking that ass around. There was no doubt in my mind that if Channing ever decided to do this very thing for a living, he'd make a killing. Homeboy could dance. He must have been listening to an old-school R&B channel because Do Me by Belle Biv DeVoe was playing. That could have been his anthem, I suppose. This was all very Tom Cruise and risky business. Well, if Tom Cruise had been shirtless and shredded. Taking a deep breath in, I just stared at him for several seconds. For as long as I'd known him, I'd never seen him like this. Deciding it was time to make myself known, I called out over the loud music, "Channing!" He turned around suddenly and began to laugh. "Oh, shit." He immediately lowered the music.
"Meow."
It was then that I realized what looked like a kitten was sitting on his shoulder. I hadn't noticed it before because the right side of his body wasn't visible. Also because I was mostly looking down. "What the heck? You brought a cat?"
"Meow."
"No." He shook his head and chuckled. "Well, sort of. It's kind of a crazy story. I'll tell it to you over lunch." "Do you always cook half-naked?" Was he blushing? "Actually, yes. But I didn't think you'd be here until later. Otherwise, I would have put some damn pants on." He approached, then kissed me on the cheek, the warmth of his lips and body sending shivers down my spine. A bit of his saliva lingered on my cheek. Oh, fuck. I'm in trouble. Sneaking a fleeting look at his tanned, washboard stomach, I noticed a simple tribal tattoo that started on his lower abs and dipped into the abyss of his underwear line. That was intriguing, and made me wonder where the ink ended. I pried my eyes upward. "I know you weren't expecting me. I decided to come by and say hello, since I don't work too far from here."
"I'm really glad you did."
He flashed his beautiful teeth.
"It's so good to see you."
Good to see you too. All of you. Something on the stove started to burn, prompting him to rush back over to it. The kitten managed to stay glued to his shoulder despite the swift movement. I laughed because suddenly my house had transformed into a circus. He glanced back at me.
You can stay and eat, right?
That depends on whether you put some pants on.
No junk food for lunch. Got it. No problemo.
He winked.
Yeah, of course I'll get dressed.
Stretching my neck in an attempt to see what he was cooking, I asked, Is there even enough food? You weren't expecting me.
Yeah, I always make too much.
Meow.
Do you mind telling me now where this cat came from?
I don't know where she came from, actually. She found me somehow.
What? He shrugged.
Yeah, I was walking here, and she followed me to your doorstep. She found me on State Street and just kept walking alongside me all the way to Beacon Hill. I didn't have the heart to leave her standing there on the curb while I came inside. She kept meowing at me. I figured she was hungry. I gave her a little of the turkey you had in the fridge. I'll replace it. I was going to find a shelter and take her there later, or maybe tomorrow after work.
Leave it to you to be a pussy magnet, Channing, I chuckled.
I guess, right?
Our eyes locked, and he seemed to be observing me. I cleared my throat. Well, it definitely seems like you've had an active couple of first hours in Boston.
It's all good. I really like this city so far. Stopped at a nice little market in the North End on my way here, too.
He nudged his head toward his shoulder where the tiny cat was perched.
Before I ran into this one over here.
Maybe now wasn't a good time to break the news that pets weren't allowed. I couldn't help but swoon a little over the fact that he'd taken in a stray cat, though. Boston is a beautiful city, especially this time of year when the leaves start changing. You're going to love it here.
Keep an eye on the stove for me. I'm going to go put some clothes on.
The kitten stayed on Channing's shoulder as he sauntered over to his room to get dressed. He came back out a minute later wearing jeans and a fitted white shirt. He was holding the kitten now, cradling it like a baby in his strong arms.
She finally climbed down off of you? Well, no. I had to pry her away so that I could put my shirt on.
The cat was purring as Channing gently scratched its head. His masculine fingers raked through the soft white fur. That made the hairs on the back of my neck stiffen.
Is it okay if I put her down? Not sure if you want her on your furniture.
I waved my hand. Sure. Yeah, it's fine. Although I'm pretty sure she'd prefer to stay with you indefinitely.
I don't know what it is about me that she likes so much.
He gently placed the cat on the ground. She weaved in and out of his legs while purring. Channing then headed over to the sink to wash his hands.
Anyway, hope you're hungry.
What did you make? He wriggled his brows.
Ah, the chef never tells.
The chef never tells the ingredients, but you can tell me what it is.
No, I'd rather you taste it without judgment first.
Crossing my arms, I shook my head in amusement. Channing proceeded to open a bottle of white wine he had chilling in the fridge. With a loud pop, he freed the cork, then poured two glasses. Holding up my palms, I said, Oh, no, I can't drink. I'm going back to work.
You think you're going back to work, but you're really not.
I knew damn well that if I took even one sip of alcohol, I wasn't going to be heading back to the school.
You're a bad influence.
He flashed a mischievous grin.
You have no idea.
I got chills. Oh, yes, I do. And some things never change. He winked, and it felt like someone had turned the temperature up in the kitchen. Once we sat down to eat, my body cooled off a bit as I became more acclimated to having him here. He'd fried us, these things, wrapped in bacon. Whatever it was delicious. Channing filled me in on his new position as a quality engineer at Ceramed while the kitten was by his feet the entire time. So what exactly does a quality engineer do?
The company I work for out in Chicago owns Ceramed. They sent me here to oversee a new medical product they've created that Ceramed is manufacturing. My job is to make sure it meets quality standards and specifications, and then suggest changes, if needed.
Sounds complicated, but I always knew you were smart.
It can be a lot of pressure to not screw up, particularly when you're dealing with medical products and people's lives. But, you know, work hard, play harder. I don't take my work home with me.
Once I cleaned my plate, I asked him the question that had been nagging me.
Okay, can you please tell me what the hell that was I just ate? It was delicious, but I had no clue what I was consuming.
Channing was laughing at me. What do you think you ate?
My best guess would be fried clams wrapped in bacon.
He wiped his mouth and smirked.
It was fried escargot wrapped in bacon. So you got the last part right, the bacon.
Oh, my God.
Escargot? Isn't that snails?
Yep. I picked them up at that market I told you about.
I just ate snails? They tasted like clams.
Escargot, fuck yourself, Channing. Is that what you want to say to me right now?
He was cracking up.
Tell me you would have eaten them if you knew, though.
I absolutely wouldn't have.
See, sometimes it's better not to know things. We can enjoy something as it was meant to be enjoyed, without preconceived notions. Snails are a delicacy. And an aphrodisiac.
I remember hearing that. Oysters, too. But I don't get it. How is that even possible? How does an oyster, for example, make you want to have sex? Does that make any sense to you?
He licked his lips.
I actually know where that connection came from.
You do?
Yeah. It has to do with the famous lover Casanova. Rumor had it that he ate 50 oysters a day to build up his stamina. Somehow they associated the oysters with sex for that very reason.
Well, it takes a Casanova to know a Casanova, I suppose. I winked.
So really what you're saying is, it's more like folklore. There really isn't a scientific reason?
Well, have you ever looked closely at an oyster?
He asked. No, can't say that I have.
It looks like a labia.
A labia?
Yeah, you know, the...
I know what a labia is. I briefly fanned myself with a napkin.
Eating an oyster is kind of like...
He hesitated.
Well, you know what I'm getting at.
Chills ran down my back as I stared at his lips.
Yeah, I think I do.
So maybe Casanova was practicing his technique, he said.
Interesting theory.
Isn't it? He smiled.
Desperately needing to move away from the sexual topics, I said, Anyway, what I just ate, snails, are absolutely not meant to be eaten.
Neither are cows or turkey and all the other things we consume every day.
Pondering that for a moment, I said, I suppose that's true.
Speaking of turkey, have you spoken to Rory?
Why did he mention him? No, I haven't, actually. It's better that way. And you don't have to badmouth him to make me feel better. I'm a big girl.
Well, technically, I feel bad for him.
Why is that?
He took another sip of wine before he said,
Because he got dumped.
Wait, what? Did he not know the truth about what happened between Rory and me? It felt like the entire world knew.
I didn't dump him. Where did you hear that?
Jordan didn't use those exact words, per se. I just assumed the breakup was your choice. Rory was always so whipped.
Well, it wasn't my choice. He'd been drinking his wine but stopped mid-sip.
Wait a minute. Hold up. He broke up with you?
I nodded. He repeated.
Rory broke up with you.
Yes. You want me to have to say it? Channing's expression turned serious as he put his glass down.
I'm sorry. I'm floored.
Yeah, so was I. He proceeded to pour me more of the Chardonnay. I held my palm out in an attempt to stop him. What are you doing?
Call in sick for the rest of the afternoon. I want you to tell me what happened with that fucking fool, and I want you to have more wine and relax while you're doing it. Plus, it's my first day here and my only weekday off. That's reason enough to play hooky.
As a teaching assistant, I didn't exactly have the kind of job where you could just bail on work without a dozen things falling apart. But I couldn't remember the last time I took a sick day. I was enjoying Channing's company and really felt like unloading on him. I wanted him to tell me Rory was an idiot for leaving me. I wanted him to make me feel better, even if it didn't really change anything. Channing tilted his head.
Come on.
You're not going to let me say no, are you?
Fuck no. I'll chain you to the chair if I have to.
I chose to ignore the muscles between my legs contracting at the thought of this man chaining me to a chair. It didn't take much to convince me. I'd really made the decision to stay when I'd taken that first sip of wine. I knew we were fully staffed today at work, so in my mind I was able to justify calling out. All right, I guess I can text my boss and make up an excuse.
Perfect.
He got up to take our plates to the sink while I sent a message to work, making up a sudden illness as the reason why I couldn't return for the remainder of the afternoon. He called over to me.
Stop feeling guilty, Amber.
How did he know that was exactly how I was feeling?
Perceptive, aren't you?
I noticed that the kitten had followed him over to the sink. Channing loaded the plates into the dishwasher.
Up for dessert?
Considering what we ate for lunch, should I be concerned?
I promise, it's not anything weird. In fact, I'm 100% sure you're going to like what I got.
He grabbed a small paper bag off the counter and brought it over to the table before taking out two cake pops. A big smile spread over my face. He held them up.
You want the pink or the brown one?
What are we, five? I laughed, then answered, pink. I took a bite and thought about the fact that white wine and cake pops really complemented each other well. I should do this more often. But the truth was, I wouldn't have even thought to do this, to take this time for myself in the middle of the day, if it weren't for Channing. My kitchen had never been filled with so much life. Looking down at my half-eaten cake ball, I said, these remind me of Hoffman's. Hoffman's was the bakery in our old neighborhood just outside of Chicago. Growing up, Lainey and I used to get cake pops from there all of the time. Lainey. I wouldn't say her name. I didn't want to upset him. Channing always seemed to like to talk about things that reminded him of her without actually discussing her, so as not to have to remember what actually happened to his sister. That was how he handled the pain of her accident. So I knew what these cake pops were really about. It was just one of the subtle ways he honored her memory.
I know they're like the ones at Hoffman's. That's why I got them.
He took a bite, catching a piece of the chocolate fondant that fell into his hand. His eyes fell to my lips as I licked the last of the frosting off the stick. The tone of his voice softened as he leaned into his elbows.
Tell me what happened with Rory.
I told you what happened.
I want the long version.
I knew I wasn't going to get out of talking about it, so I took a long sip of the wine and began to unload on him. Over the next several minutes, Channing listened attentively as I recalled Rory's breaking up with me, from the days leading up to it, to the Bed Bath & Beyond incident, to the exact words Rory said to me when he suggested we explore other people. It was the first time I'd really gone over what happened in such great detail. It felt like I was reliving it, and I ended up breaking down. There was something about telling Channing everything that made me emotional enough to cry. Maybe it was because I didn't have a big brother to tell things to. Or maybe it was because Channing was one of the few people who knew Rory and me from the very beginning of our relationship. Who knew how trustworthy Rory was. Technically, without Channing, I would never have met Rory. I felt like Channing was truly on my side, though. He seemed like he wanted to kick Rory's ass for hurting me. And that gave me some comfort. Sometimes you just need a strong male friend in your corner. A protector. Channing was that person for me. Even if years went by and we didn't speak, I knew he would be there for me if I ever needed him. In a sense, that was happening at the moment.
I know it may not seem like it right now, but Rory did you a favor.
By wasting 9 years of my life?
I think he's crazy for letting you go, all right? He'll never find someone like you again. But, in a sense, he's right. You haven't experienced enough to know that he's the one. You've only been with one man. One man in your entire life. I don't think he can do better. But quite frankly, I think you can.
That's not a very nice thing to say about your former best friend.
Rory and I were never as close as you thought, he was quick to say. And even if we were, I call it like I see it. You were always out of his league.
On a superficial level, maybe.
although you haven't seen him lately. He looks really good now. You're wrong, on every level.
His words gave me pause. I didn't even care if he was blowing smoke up my ass at this point. It made me feel good to hear him say that. I just needed to feel good tonight, after months of feeling like shit. I would take his words and run with them. I didn't want better, Channing. I wanted Rory, someone whom I trusted with my life. He's a good guy and knows me inside and out. It will take me years to build that kind of connection with someone again. If you live your life constantly thinking that the grass may be greener, you'll never settle down.
No, but if you never venture out of your bubble of safety, you'll never realize it's not the color of the grass that matters, but how fucking good it tastes to smoke it.
I pondered that for a moment.
That doesn't make sense to me. I know. I just made it up.
You suck, Channing, I laughed.
If you think about it long enough, though, it starts to make sense. And you're smiling. That's what matters.
He chuckled.
Okay, in all seriousness, sometimes people have to learn lessons the hard way. He'll figure out his mistake and come back. It's just a matter of whether you'll be there when he does. The question is, if he came back today, would you take him back?
I honestly don't know. A part of me thinks yes, only because that part of me still loves him. You don't get over that so easily after nearly a decade together. But then another part of me doesn't feel like I could ever fully trust him not to leave again. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He's clearly not here asking me to take him back.
No, but he will be.
You seem so sure of that. He crossed his arms.
I am.
Channing was looking me straight in the eyes, and the intensity of that prompted me to change the subject. I sighed.
All right, let's talk about something other than Rory. Like, literally anything.
He crumpled up a napkin and threw it at me playfully.
How about moldy cheese?
Sure.
I'm serious. What the fuck did you have growing in your refrigerator? I cleaned all that shit out, by the way.
Mortified, I said, Oh, I thought you were joking. You're actually talking about cheese. I'm sorry. I've neglected the fridge lately. It was the one thing I didn't get to tackle before you moved in. I couldn't tell you what was in there.
You don't owe me any explanations. It's your kitchen. Your moldy cheese. Not my place to judge.
You think I'm a pig, don't you?
Far from it.
Well, I have no excuse for that.
I beg to differ. How about you work long hours, and your head isn't on straight lately because your heart is broken? Fuck the cheese. I'm sorry for even mentioning it. I was just messing with you. You said to change the subject, and for some reason that was the first thing that came to mind.
Attempting to change the subject yet again, I asked, When do you start your new job again?
Bright and early tomorrow.
Wow. Okay. You know how to get there from here?
I need to check the train route online.
You'll take the orange line to the red. I think the stop is Kendall Square.
I'll figure it out.
He smiled, pouring me the last drop of wine.
Tell me more about this school you work at. You like it there?
Now that was something I could never get enough of talking about. Yes, I love my job, actually. It's a school for kids with developmental challenges, like autism and Down syndrome. I'm a TA in one of the classrooms. Then, a few nights a week, I work with a special needs adult, taking him out into the community.
That's got to be a handful.
It is, but it's very rewarding.
Well, they're lucky to have you.
I didn't know what else to say. Thank you. I'd never been great at accepting compliments. We opened another bottle of wine and spent the next couple of hours reminiscing. I'd forgotten how easy Channing was to talk to, and with each passing hour, I was less intimidated by his physical presence. The last time we'd really talked at great length like this was before Rory and I got together. It reminded me of those early days after Lainey's death. After our extended lunch, I felt a great deal better about him staying with me. Channing was still the same wildly charismatic guy I remembered, but he'd definitely matured. He seemed sensitive to my feelings, and I no longer feared that he'd disrespect my space in any way. In fact, the only thing I really feared after our afternoon together was that I might get used to him being around and not want him to leave.
Chapter 3. Channing. God, she looked exactly the same as when she was 16. It made me feel like a perv, even though I knew she was in her 20s and only a couple of years younger than me. How she hadn't aged was beyond me. The same petite body, the same straight, long, dark auburn hair with the exact same bangs cut straight across the forehead. The same brown doe eyes. They used to be full of wonder, but tonight they were mostly dark. Fucking asshole took away the light in her eyes. My mother always told me I shouldn't go to bed angry, that it would affect my dreams, and that the negative energy would carry over into the next day. But as I lay in bed that night, I really couldn't help obsessing over the bomb that Amber dropped. Never in a million years would I have predicted that he was the one responsible for their breakup. She was so upset and wound up over Rory. I wished I could have just kissed the fuck out of her to make her forget. Or even better, show her what it's like to be with a real man. That may have been an inappropriate thought, but nevertheless, I had it. A lot of inappropriate thoughts were moving in and out of my head. And that was pretty funny considering I couldn't ever act on them. Years ago, I'd come to terms with the fact that Amber and Rory were together, because I assumed at the very least he would do right by her and cherish her. It was the only reason I didn't beat the shit out of him when I came home from college and realized he'd broken our pact, pursued her, and had fucking taken her virginity. Back when we were teenagers, I'd always known that Rory wanted Amber. What I never considered was that she could return his feelings. The three of us would hang out together, watching movies or just chilling down in my basement, and I'd catch him staring at her when she wasn't looking. He'd be fixated on her, and I would be fixated on his fixation with her. She was oblivious to his feelings and even more oblivious to mine, because I hid them really well. It was no exaggeration to say I'd probably hooked up with all of Amber's friends. So yeah, I was really good at throwing her off. I'm certain she never suspected that I liked her as more than a friend. My actions certainly never demonstrated that. None of the girls I'd hooked up with in high school or college meant anything to me. Amber was really the only girl I'd ever developed feelings for at the time. They never escalated to the point of love, but I cared about her, wanted to protect her. Before Lainey died, Amber was merely my sister's friend. After Lainey passed away, Amber and I got closer. She was the only person keeping me sane during one of the most difficult periods of my life. Those months after my sister's death. But actually dating Amber back then was never something I considered a realistic option. I was too young and unpredictable. Not to mention, I was the spawn of an asshole, womanizing father. What if the apple didn't fall far from the tree? I was certain I'd end up hurting her. She was like a sister to me. A sister I secretly wanted to fuck, but knew I never would. And I guess my attitude was that Rory should have felt the same way since the three of us were supposed to be friends. He and I should have wanted to protect her, not take advantage of her. But yet, what we should have felt didn't matter. We both wanted her. So, when Rory came to me and confessed his feelings for Amber one night, I felt like I needed to tell him how I really felt about her too. My jealousy was through the roof, even though I didn't think he was any kind of competition for me. That had been the one consolation, or so I thought. We agreed that since we couldn't both have her, that neither of us would tell her how we felt. We'd come to the understanding that it was better to keep our friendship intact, both with each other and with Amber. I therefore didn't feel like I needed to watch my back when I went away to the University of Florida, leaving my friends behind. I trusted that he wouldn't move in on her, and even more so, I figured that if he did, she wouldn't return his feelings. It was like double security in my mind. Homesick, I decided to transfer back to a state school after my first year in Gainesville was up. When I came home that summer and found out that they were together, it felt like the ultimate betrayal. I alienated myself from both of them for a while. During that time, my man-whore ways were worse than ever once the school year started up again. It was a bad combination of acting out due to anger, along with being the new hot guy on campus at the local college I'd transferred to. Over time, though, I began to accept things as they were. After all, even if Amber had been available, I knew I wasn't the right guy for her anyway. She deserved someone who wouldn't screw her over, someone like Rory. He was safe. I grew to accept them together, and she and I were able to renew our friendship, although things were never exactly the same again between the three of us, especially between Rory and me. And he knew why. Had seeing them together still hurt like a motherfucker? Yes. But I'd accepted that he was the better man for her. Sucking up my jealousy and pride, I ended up moving on. So, finding out that he'd broken her heart all these years later was a tough pill to swallow. If he were in front of me right now, there was no guarantee I wouldn't injure him. I flipped my pillow around and fluffed it while Kitty purred and curled up into the crook of my neck. A sneeze from behind the bedroom door was the first indication that Amber, too, wasn't getting any sleep. I got up. She was leaning against the kitchen counter, blowing her nose. "Are you okay?" She jumped a little. I'd startled her. Amber sneezed again, then said, "I think I might be allergic to your pussy." "Well, that's a new one. Can't say I've ever heard that before," I joked. Then it really hit me that she was serious. "Fuck, you're allergic to the cat." "I'm not sure, but it's a good possibility, seeing as though I'm suddenly sneezing incessantly." Shit. As much as it pained me to follow through with my original plan to take Kitty to the shelter, I knew that was going to be even more necessary now. I'd secretly hoped to be able to keep her around. "I'll find a place for Kitty tomorrow, make some calls during my lunch break." "Kitty?" She laughed. "Is that her name?" "Yeah, I know. Not very original, but that's what I started calling her, and it stuck." "I'm going to start calling you Stud." She stuck her hand out in jest. "Nice to meet you. I'm Bitch." I took her hand, which was so small it felt breakable. "My friends call me Dick." My smile faded into a frown when I said, "Kitty will be gone by tomorrow." "No," she blew her nose. "Don't." "What do you mean?" "It's only a few months. I'll get on some medication or something. That cat loves you. She belongs with you. It would break my heart to see you have to take her to a shelter. I can't let you do it." Blowing her nose again, she said in a stuffed-up voice, "By the way, I know where she came from."
"You do?"
"Yes. I couldn't sleep, so I was watching a repeat of the late evening news. A pet store in Devonshire was supposed to get a delivery of cats. The truck was parked while the driver left it unattended. They think someone broke into it and set the cats free." "No shit. She's stolen property? Maybe I'll take her back there then."
"No, you can't."
"Well, I can't let you just be sick."
"It'll be fine. Seriously. Sneezing never killed anyone."
"That's pretty insane that you would want to keep her around."
"Yeah, well, I might just be a little insane."
"Actually, no. It's how you are. You've always had a kind heart."
"A lot of good it did me."
She rolled her eyes. I knew she was referring to Rory and once again wanted to kick his ass.
"God, you must think I'm such a fucking Debbie Downer," she said. "I haven't stopped talking about my breakup since you got here."
"Debbie Downer? Nah. More like Negative Nancy." I winked. She sniffled.
"Have I mentioned I'm really glad you're here? I think I've smiled more in the last 12 hours than I have in 3 months."
"And that's exactly the reason you need to keep yourself in check, Channing. You can't risk crossing a line and hurting her. Your job is what it's always been, to be her friend, to make her smile. You weren't supposed to mess with Amber before she got her heart broken, but after, now it's even more important not to fuck up."
"I promise to make an effort to be a little more upbeat," she said, as she looked over at the clock on the wall. "You should go back to bed. You start your job tomorrow. I'm sorry for waking you."
Feeling more wired than ever, I shook my head. "You didn't wake me up. I got up because I heard you, but I hadn't fallen asleep yet."
"Why can't you sleep? Are you anxious about work?"
I couldn't exactly admit to her what was really keeping me up. Something like that.
After work the following day, I decided to roam Cambridge before hopping the train back to Amber's. Crowded with college students and homeless people, Harvard Square was bustling. The faint sound of live music registered, although I wasn't sure exactly where it was coming from. Passing an outdoor cafe where a bunch of people were sitting around playing chess, it hit me that sightseeing alone in a new city wasn't really very much fun, so I called Amber to see if she'd want to join me down here. As luck would have it, she had the night off. We planned to meet at this small used bookstore that I'd discovered on Brattle Street. It was tucked away, and you had to go down a few steps to access the door. The place smelled like burnt coffee and old paper. Rich with eccentricities from corner to corner, it was seriously one of the coolest places I'd ever stumbled upon. I checked the door every few minutes to see if she'd arrived. When Amber finally entered the place, I noticed that she was making small talk with a hunched-over old man on her way in. She was the type of person who always noticed people, didn't just walk by them in a fog, but really noticed them. Amber was smiling and chatting up the man before she finally held the door open for him. That was probably the highlight of the old fucker's entire year. I loved observing people when they didn't know I was watching them. Getting to see how someone conducted themselves in their natural state without knowing they were being watched was a true window into their soul. And Amber had a kind soul. That had always been apparent to me. I waved at her from the corner table I'd snagged. Amber unraveled her scarf and took a seat across from me. My eyes fell to her neckline and to her perky breasts that were stretching against her pink-fitted sweater. Her hair was staticky from the cold. She looked around at the musty shelves. "This place is really cool." It smelled like incense all of a sudden. It was coming from the opposite side of the room, where a woman with dreadlocks stuffed into a knit cap was selling crystals next to the occult book section. A man played guitar in the other corner. "It's like a coffee house slash used bookstore. I stumbled upon it and thought you might like it here. I remember you used to read a lot." I suddenly got up. "I'll be right back." After I fetched us two coffees that were served in ceramic mugs, I returned to my place at the table. Amber blew on the steaming liquid before she said, "I thought I was supposed to be showing you around, not vice versa. I never even knew this place existed. Really cool find. I could spend all evening in here getting amped up on caffeine and searching for obscure books. Do you think that's strange?" "No, actually. That's why bookstores make good first dates for people. I've taken a few women to bookstores. Granted, not one as cool as this." She scrunched her nose. "I wouldn't have thought that." "Well, for one, there's never a lack of things to talk about. Each book is a conversation piece." The corners of her eyes crinkled. "Yeah, but you're really not getting to know the person if you're talking about books and not each other." "I beg to differ. You can tell a hell of a lot about someone by what they read. Or what they don't read, if they've never picked up a book." "Exactly. Now you're getting my point." "I can imagine you've dated some women like that, who didn't read, at least from what I remember." "Plenty. And the truth always comes out. Not that I have anything against someone who doesn't habitually read, but sometimes it can mean there's an overall lack of interest in things outside of themselves." A smile spread across her face. "I'm impressed, Lord. But given some of the girls you used to date, I didn't think such things mattered to you." "Sounds like you're judging a book by its cover, Amber." I winked. "See what I did there?" "I do," she laughed. The sound of her laughter brought me back in time to our youth for a moment. There were very few remnants of that time, but her laughter was one of them. Her laughter used to be my medicine. "I'm not exactly the same guy I was in high school and college." "You mean you don't," she coughed intentionally, "get around anymore?" "Get around? You mean sleep around? Fuck around, right? Just say what you really mean. I was trying to be bookstore friendly." "Look around. I'm pretty sure you can say and do anything you want in this place." I grinned and inhaled a curious scent that smelled an awful lot like marijuana. "By the way, do you smell pot?" She sniffed the air. "I do." I took a sip of my coffee and addressed her previous question. I still appreciate a pretty face and a hot body, but it takes a lot more than that to thrill me now. A man can only take so much ass before he needs something more. My brain needs to be stimulated just as much as my dick. Amber looked a bit flushed. I see. Needing to redirect my mind from focusing on how adorable her blushing was, I said, you know what else is great about first dates in bookstores? What? If it ends up being a dud, you still get to take something new home to cuddle up with in bed. I wriggled my brows. I like the way you think, Lord. My eyes landed on a situation happening in one of the aisles. Even observing people in bookstores can be fun. I pointed to this dude I'd been watching before she arrived. Take that guy, for example. Look how he's not even opening up the book he's holding. He's been watching that woman who's browsing next to him the entire time. He's pretending to be interested in the nightingale, but really, he's totally getting ready to make his move. And that choice of book was no accident, either. It's a popular book. The likelihood that she's read it and liked it is high. So, he's counting on it as a potential conversation starter. That theory makes sense, but how can you be so sure of what's about to happen? She drew her own conclusion. Ah, you've picked women up in bookstores before, too. Shrugging, I admitted, I might have done the casual aisle thing once. Did it work? I simply smirked. Amber rolled her eyes. I didn't even need to ask. I'm sure everything works for you. It amused me that she assumed things were so easy for me. Why do you think that? Because women have always been unable to resist you. It doesn't matter whether it's the bookstore aisle or the pet aisle at the supermarket. The story is the same in the end. You get the girl. You can have any woman you want. I'll have you know that's not always the case, Amber Walton. Someone rejected you? She was still clueless as to how I used to feel about her, never imagining that she was the first person who came to mind when she asked me that question. Even though it wasn't a blatant rejection, she had no idea how it felt for me when she got together with Rory. Besides Amber, there was only one other woman in my life whom I'd wanted but couldn't have. I don't think I'd ever spoken about the situation with Emily to another person. If anyone could understand, though, it was Amber. Yes, actually, someone did reject me once. Really? She leaned in. Do tell, Channing. There's not much to tell. Her name is Emily. About a year ago, we met at the wedding of a buddy of mine. It was a 3-day event in the Bahamas. We had this weird, instant connection. She was probably the first woman I can honestly say I could have seen myself in a relationship with, or at least trying for it. I paused as I thought back to that weekend. Anyway, we had an amazing time together. We were inseparable. I hadn't felt that way about someone in a long while. When the weekend came to an end, I went back to Chicago, and she went home to Massachusetts. We stayed in touch long distance. Wait, she lives here in Mass? Yeah. Somewhere outside Boston, ironically. So, you'd gotten closer to her over the phone, and then what? Yeah, we were talking a lot. Lots of Skype sex. And I found myself thinking about her a lot when we weren't communicating. I was supposed to come out to visit her, but she ended up getting back together with her ex-boyfriend out of the blue. I'd known about him all along, but she never gave me any indication that she was still into him. Anyway, she explained that she felt terrible for leading me on and all of that, but that she had to follow her heart. There's really not much more to tell. It's nothing compared to what you're going through with Rory, but I'm not unfamiliar with disappointment. She seemed truly shocked. Amber had definitely witnessed some of my biggest moments of vulnerability in those months after Lainey died, but over the years, I'd put up such a good front around people that I made it easy for her to forget that I'd ever had a sensitive side. She probably thought I'd hardened a lot more than I actually had. Wow. Thank you for sharing that with me. I guess it was dumb of me to assume that you were immune to getting hurt. I wasn't looking for anything serious, but Emily just came out of the blue. That's how it happens sometimes, I would imagine. I was done talking about Emily. I'd pretty much gotten over that whole thing, but rehashing it made me feel like shit. This was a taste of how Amber must have felt the other night when I made her talk about what happened with Rory. Glancing over at the man macking in the aisle, I said, "See? What did I say about him?" The dude was now holding the book behind his back as he chatted.